Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Peter Paul Verzola, and I don't know where our theme is. Come on, there. Well, anyway, we got a little screw up here. It's an appropriate day in 1659, our usual theme is March to the Scaffold, and Oliver Cromwell, the great protector who had overthrown Charles I of the Stuart family, disbanded the British Parliament. It's an excellent movie, Cromwell, C-R-O-M-W-L-L, starring Richard Harris, one of these spectaculars, with Alec Guinness, great cast. And he marches into the Parliament building. It still stands today. He didn't destroy that. And he orders his soldiers to clear the place out, said, "You guys can't even operate a proper whorehouse." Words to that effect, but he did use the word whorehouse. No, brothel, I think. Anyway, some people think that's what ought to be done to the U.S. Congress. Wishful thinking. Anyway, this is an interesting day in birthdays. Political leaders' birthdays today. In 1870, Lenin, his full name was Ulyanov, he was born. And, of course, he was shot in an assassination attempt, in 1921, lived on for a bit. And before he died, he warned people, watch out for Joseph Stalin. And in 1889, his opponent, who tried to restore, make Russia into a monarchy, these guys were born about the same time when there was massive unrest in the old Tsarist Russia. Alexander Kerensky was born, and he Lenin tried to made a deal with the Germans in World War I to take Russia out of the war on the Eastern Front, and that would have relieved the German army so they could switch them to the Western Front and win a decisive victory against the Allies. Alexander Kerensky, one of his programs was to keep Russia in the war, and it was this myth about the Russian steamroller. They had 5 million men, but they were not properly supplied, major corruption problems and disgruntlement among the ranks, the way the troops were treated. So it was like a whole system that had come to a collapse, and it was 900 years of the Romanov. It was coming to an end. Also today in 1891, one of the greatest composers and pianists born was Sergei Prokofiev. Interestingly, he died on the same day in March of 1952, I think it was, as Joe Stalin. But there was very little mention of Sergei Prokofiev, who wrote a lot of music. And next week we'll have some excerpts from music that the FBI used in their thing, in their programs. Quite interesting what J. Edgar Hoover, who oversaw anything having to deal with the FBI, and whether it was on radio, TV, print, he oversaw the production and approves everything. So we'll get into that. It's quite interesting the type of music that he selected. And there's a lot of musicians born today. Glenn Campbell, by the time I can't remember that one. And we have Mel Carter, the great black singer. And then we have the great actor, Jack Nicholson. He was born today. Among the deaths were William Greer of the Waltons, Jane Froman, great singer. And then, of course, Richard Nixon died today. And then for the women who like all the hints from Heloise, Irma Brombeck died today. And Maggie Kuhn, who started the Gray Panthers for senior citizens' rights. Excuse me. And then, interestingly, in French history, we had in 1370, the Bastille, the construction of the Bastille was started. And, of course, they burned it down in the French Revolution. And then in 1861, discussed this last week, Robert E. Lee officially took command of the Confederate forces in the Civil War. And then in 1898, just before, I don't know if it was before the Spanish-American War or after, Congress passed the Volunteer Cavalry Act, And, of course, General Patton was a great horseman, and he loved the cavalry. We'll get into that with General Berrigan in June when we run the interview we did with him. He was the American general who was the deputy at Omaha at D-Day, oversaw the Corps of Engineers construction of the Mulberry Bridges and using them to land our forces on the shores of France. And then today we had in 1915 in World War One, the first use of poison gas. It was chlorine gas, the stuff that you find in your bleach, Clorox, and it was horrible. A lot of people were burned, and there was no cure for the burns in those days, and guys were blinded. It was just, and then this poison gas has supposedly been banned, but we know that Saddam Hussein used it when he went after the Kurds, when he was the dictator and the totalitarian ruler of Iraq. Excuse me. Sort of cold here. And then in 1940, Rear Admiral Taussig, he testified before the Navy Committee in Congress, warning everybody that we were going to go to war with Japan. This is 1940. And before that, it was General Billy Mitchell, the guy who proved that ships could be sunk by aircraft. And he was cashiered by the, it was during the Coolidge administration, and he wouldn't shut up. There's a famous movie starring Gary Cooper, I made a mistake last time, called The Court-Martial of Billy Mitchell, and Rod Steiger played the JAG, who was the prosecutor. Great movie, recommend that. I just learned about Admiral Taussig. Also, along the Japanese and World War II, go to our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas. We just put it up today, AmiCusVeritas, YouTube. Toyota dealership in San Francisco, these people, Toyota apparently doesn't know how to do advertising and to do public relations in the wake of this worldwide disaster involving all of their vehicles. They've made too many, too fast, too soon, and too much. Anyway, that site, 1701 Van Ness, for those of you who are familiar with San Francisco, or those of you who come here, you might. It's part of our infamous and famous sites, historical sites series that we're running on Amicus Veritas on our YouTube site. And in 1942, when the FDR administration and General DeWitt persuaded the government to order the evacuation of all the Japanese from the West Coast, whether they were citizens or landed immigrants, they were to be deported to internment camps. And 1701 Van Ness, which is the site of the Toyota dealership in San Francisco today, was where these Japanese were ordered to report. And, of course, those of you who are familiar with that history, all they could take with what they could carry, they had to leave everything that they couldn't carry, had to leave it behind, and they lost property, businesses. It was just horrible what they did. One of the little-known facts about the deportation to the internment camps were suspected German and Italians were also, there weren't nearly as many, but they were also deported to internment camps. That's not known. And then there's a famous case down in L.A., California, where a Caucasian was married to a Japanese, and, of course, he didn't have to go. He could be separated from his wife who went into the camps, but he decided to share her internment, and he died recently. I'll get his name, and we'll bring it up. It's quite a story. You don't hear much about this kind of marital love. I still got my code, so forgive me, folks. And then in 1954, the first televised hearings of Congress, major hearings, was the McCarthy versus the Army. Senator Joe McCarthy, tail gunner Joe, served in World War II as a tail gunner. You know, it's interesting, both him and George Wallace were in the Army Air Force. George Wallace, the late governor of Alabama. Interesting guy. We get into him. He really wasn't a racist. He was a poor white boy. And like a lot of poor whites in the South, they weren't into a lot of this racial diatribe and stuff. They were just trying to eke out a living, too, and World War II came along, and these guys had to serve when side by side, and even blood transfusions were invented by a black doctor. Forgot his name. Shame on me. But anyway, we'll get into that. But anyway, these were the famous hearings where Joe McCarthy went off the deep end. The senator from Wisconsin was a Catholic, conservative. And what was interesting was this was the debut of Robert Kennedy, the policeman of the Kennedy family. That was his mentality. And he got into it with Roy Cohn. Roy Cohn died of AIDS. He was a Wunderkind, as they say in German. He graduated from law school, very successful. His family was wealthy. I think he was 21. And he allegedly had a relationship with G. David Schein, who was an Army private who worked with Cohn. It was very unusual that this guy was drafted. Schein came from a wealthy California hotel family. And there's still a lot of questions. And McCarthy went overboard. There were communists in the State Department. There were communists in the government. But he made some mistakes. And then it was this lawyer from Boston, Robert Welch, who, very low-key, he helped McCarthy, unfortunately, destroy himself. And that's a classic. Edward R. Murrow covered a lot of that. The famous hearings, and Eisenhower got very angry with Joe McCarthy and wouldn't invite him to the White House when he invited all the other senators. McCarthy became persona non grata, and he became a drunk and died in, disgrace or dishonor. But some of the things that he said at the time, the accusations, turned out to be true. There were communists in the U.S. State Department. Let's see, who else today? Oh, in 1955, also the Eisenhower administration, we have Congress passed this resolution that on our coinage, the phrase, "In God We Trust." A lot of people are going to be trusting in God because you can't trust a lot of people in our current government. And along those lines about government and trust, 1976, the great Swedish director Ingmar Bergman has really weird films. He decided to leave Sweden. I don't think he went to Ireland, where a lot of people fled because they didn't like the high taxation. But Sweden had over 50% confiscatory type taxation system, and we'll get into the Swedish health system. It came up in an unusual way in the Tea Party April 15th protests, and we're working on the video that we did with the new shadow. So it's very interesting what happened on that day. Very few people caught on to something. We'll get into that. Now, the Catholic Church, and I'm a Catholic. I went to Catholic boarding school, grew up Catholic families, been Catholic for centuries, although several of my family have decided to become Buddhists. I don't know why, but that's their choice. Anyway, yes, the Catholic Church, the clergy, the hierarchy has turned a blind eye and a deaf ear and a cold heart to the cries of the children who were sexually molested, not only by priests, but by nuns and also the ranks, brothers, bishops, lay people. And, it happened, and now they're going to have to deal with it because there's a worldwide furor, and these cases keep coming up, although there's questions about some of them. Why didn't these people speak out before? There may be a good reason individually on this, because some people were just so ashamed, and males react differently to rape. No matter how old you are, there are veterans who are still traumatized by the rape that they suffered by, inflicted on them by their superiors in the Korean War. Even from World War II, there were a couple of cases, and the Veterans Administration has not dealt with this. And they didn't at the time, and they're not doing it now, and even though there's still a demand from the remaining veterans who are still alive and who are still traumatized. And, of course, that in the Stephen Nary case, which you can look on the web, N-A-R-Y, Stephen, S-T-E-V-E-N, he was traumatized by this homosexual and these corrupt politician judges and media morons here in San Francisco and in California. And that case is like bankrupt's ghost. It's not going to go away until there's a just resolution of this whole bad case. But On our YouTube website, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas, we expose the Reverend Amos Brown, who is a Baptist minister, operates the Third Baptist Church. He's also supposed to be the head of the National Association for Colored People, NAACP, here in San Francisco, Northern California. And he has $250,000 in pedophile judgments against him on one major case, and there are allegations that his Ethiopian Boys Project, that these kids were abused. These are allegations. They destroyed a house that he had, was connected to, and we'll see what comes out of that. But this is just another example of Protestants who have molested children and who allowed it to happen. And there are also Jewish rabbis where this has happened in the schools that some of these rabbis operated or were connected to. We have individuals who prey on Asian kids. There's a group here in California called Wu Yi, and they're trying to educate the Asian community because the children who are immigrants, whether legal or not, are very respectful of their elders, and they're not coming for me. That's a siren, and it's not the ambulance. It's not the cops. Anyway, there's nothing we can do about those sounds because of the way we're broadcasting. Anyway, they have been trying to educate the Asian community, Vietnamese, Chinese, even Filipino kids, and Thai. They have to be protected against predators, and these predators are within their own Asian community as well as Caucasians. And this is not publicized. Also, the black children have been preyed upon, not only the Amos Brown school children. In other instances, and there may be this attitude by the media, which does not report these things. In fact, Amos Brown was endorsed for public office by the old Hearst Examiner. Hearst no longer owns it. It's now owned by the Chronicle, or the Chronicle. Hearst brought the Chronicle and sold the Examiner to a homosexual named Fang, who was involved in libeling Stephen Neri. We'll get into that in another case. But anyway, what happened was these lawsuits were not publicized. We dug them up, and the media knew about it, but because he was a prominent black, we call him a black Pharisee, a lot of people disliked this guy because he's a hypocrite. And they knew that this guy had these pedophile judgments, and Catholics were politically worse, and hey, you know, if he was named Aloysius Brown, a white Catholic, Irish descent priest, would they endorse him for public office if that priest had pedophile judgments against him? So it just shows you the double and no standard by the media, and that's why they are called morons. And you know, they're no, you know, this type of media malpractice. If these guys, the standards to the doctors are held to, they would have been thrown out of the profession a long time ago, or if you want to call it a profession. Some people think it's just a whorehouse. Some of these people have gotten HUD condos at below market prices. We'll get into that one with the documentation. Others have also preyed on children. One at the Chronicle, it was a little girl he drugged, and there are other cases. And then there's the homosexual press, which promotes pedophilia, and will expose these people and how they prey on young military recruits. They're seen as easy pickings, and we have the documentation on that. So this is a lot of work. We're trying to get it publicized, and it'll be available worldwide. Now, they're also, why do these people get away with all this? Well, it's because they are connected to politicians, and it doesn't matter whether they're Democrats or Republicans. We have prominent politicians here in California who not only cavort in the gay parade in June, or the pervert parade, as some people call it, also go to the Folsom Street orgy where there's S&M, open sexual acts of every type, and children are invited there, and politicians support that. And anybody who comes to San Francisco and stays in a hotel, there's a hotel tax that finances part of that Folsom Street orgy and some of these other sexual perversions that go on in San Francisco. And, of course, we're not the only ones, but the city is most prominent because the politicians here have a disproportionate power as, compared to their overall population in the state. We have the two senators, Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, and Dianne Feinstein, Blum. You know, they're all from this area, and they, in fact, control the patronage, federal patronage, in this in the state of California. Excuse me. Still have this bloody cold. But this is why these are video voyeurs. Also, in the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, going back to two administrations back, Arlo Smith, Affable Arlo, and Terrence Hallinan, they knew that a couple of their employees were involved in male prostitution publications, promotion of it, allegations of extortion for sex, and video voyeurs. Senator Rick Santorum got a law passed through Congress, the Video Voyeurs Act, and we warned them, and we'll put up the video of how young military recruits have been targeted, especially at the bases down in San Diego and around the country. And there's a lot of this pornography targeted on video voyeurs of at military bases. Even a Canadian base and a Swiss Army base were involved. And the Naval Academy at Annapolis, they targeted, they stuck video cameras in there, and it's just outrageous. But not only that, we heard last week that in Pennsylvania, the suburban school where somebody keyed, fixed the laptops that they gave to the school kids so that the laptops could be spy on the kids when they used them. And, of course, some kids were in bed and in the bathroom, whatever. But the whole thing is outrageous. But that's not the only incident of this sort. There were spy camming on grammar school kids, I think, in Maine. We were back east. It was a couple years ago. But, of course, you don't hear about these things because the media, the morons in the media, cover it up. No pun intended. You know, they don't cover up the lenses and they don't pull them out of there and they go along with this. And when people who know that find out that this has happened, they go to these editors and these news writers and try to get them to publicize these incidents, and they won't do it. Not only that, we have gotten at the San Jose Mercury, they just had a judgment against them. One of their male employees was sexually harassed by another male. I think he got a $100,000 judgment. We had the McClatchy Papers, the late owner of the McClatchy Papers, reportedly died of AIDS, and the young male that he was involved in, this guy was married to McClatchy Sr., demanded that he be tested and his corpse be tested for AIDS. The son, I think he's adopted, who inherited the McClatchy newspaper chain, he's gay. So, you know, there's this big infiltration. We do believe that the pendulum is swinging back toward the center, that people are tired of what we call crotch politics, that there's this agenda, its costs, and its consequences, that right now people are worried about the economy and keeping a roof over their head and a car and being able to own a car and to be able to put gas in it and food on the table. They don't have time for all of this, this special rights, privileges, and exemptions. So I think people are coming back to their senses and worried about their wallets and not about the homosexual, lesbian, transgendered agenda of crotch politics. So enough of that. Now, getting back to the Toyota situation, we did put up the earlier video. The Shadow and I, New Shadow, happened to catch this Toyota. We still haven't got the police report that happened at the beginning of February, or the second week, I think. And it's on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. And we don't know. There was huge damage on the passenger side. The vehicle was flipped over, brand new vehicle looked like, or very late model. And whether we had an incident last summer driving a rental, a Toyota, and where the gas pedal got stuck. And then luckily we were able to stop the car before it ran out onto the highway because we were coming out of a driveway when this happened. We were on a trip. and we brought it up to the rental agency, and they just kind of poo-pooed and thought, you know, you guys don't know how to drive. But I don't think Toyota has they're hoping this thing will blow away, but I don't think it will. They should take a look at what General Motors did. This is a surprise that came out of the bailout, that the new president or the chief executive running General Motors have cut all of these, cut a lot of their product line, the Hummer, several of the models that they don't make them anymore. And that's what Toyota ought to do. And maybe they'll, when the people are not buying their cars, maybe in Tokyo they'll pay attention, you know, when they're in their geisha bars, and pay attention to the American and North American market, that they've made too many cars too fast, too many models too soon, and without enough testing to see if these vehicles were thoroughly as reasonably safe as could be expected, given the technology of our time. So that's that. And also we invite you to go to our websites, Amicus Veritas, or you could access it very easy at verzola.com, verzola.com. And then we are preparing, next week we will also, in the coming weeks, since this is the commemoration of Gallipoli, one of the biggest military disasters in world history, and our personal connection to survivors of it, we'll be running accepted interviews. Also, for those of you, since Afghanistan is in the news all day long and every day and every week, every month, Brigadier Ingalls, who was the last commanding general of the Bengal Lancers, he served there 30 years. He went to Sandhurst, which is the British version of West Point, although they were founded before West Point. And his classmate was David Niven. Anyway, we just put up we did a long interview with him before he died, and we got into the Russian meddling in Afghanistan, and it goes back centuries because Russia's next door. And there's a little clip from a movie that it's part of an educational project, and it illustrates from the British point of view of the Russian meddling in what was known as the Northwest Frontier at the time, which was Pakistan and that part and Afghanistan. And then there's a copy of a print that I picked up when I was in New Zealand as a correspondent of the British Indian Army in Afghanistan. But anyway, it's very short, but it's to the point, and it's informative and hopefully entertaining. And it's history that you don't hear about, but we're fortunate enough to have researched it and been able to put it out there worldwide. So that's there, and then we will have a subject that I'm interested in because one of my in-laws survived the camps in Europe and also in Asia from our Asian side. Were there lesbians that operated, not operated, but were they functionaries in the concentration camps? And you look at these women, and you've got to wonder. So anyway, we'll end at one of our favorite themes, and again, telling you people who are concerned about reform, it's not change, it's reform. You can change the faces, but if there's no reform, what's the use of changing the faces? The important thing is that people start paying attention to the looming possibility of vote fraud, major vote fraud this fall.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
We all will if we don't get good candidates elected.
Likewise, here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the...
Well, not Jack Riley, but this is Peter Paul Brazilla. Thanks for listening.